Hi, my name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not, it's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkia's Wrap-Up. Hello, folks. Welcome back to Malkia's Wrap-Up. I am surprising everybody. I've managed two recordings in a row. I haven't done that for far too long. but we're going to have some fun. And tonight we are sitting down and chatting to the incredibly talented and absolutely hilarious Bree. How are you doing, Bree?
Thank you. That's very complimentary. I like to think that I am hilarious.
You are. It's an accurate thing. You joined Threefold Talk for stab rankings at one point, didn't you?
Yes, I believe I did.
Mm-hmm. And we loved it. So, you know, you are genuinely hilarious. Welcome to Anna and Sulin, who are listening live in the Discord server. Sulin's made it just in time, she says. So, yeah, great to have you here. How have you been? Introduce yourselves for the folks who live under a rock and don't know who you are. And when you tell us what you get up to, because, I mean, I know a little bit about what you do.
I always, when people ask me to introduce myself, I always call myself the Wheel of Time fandom gremlin, because I feel sort of like, I just sort of snuck into the fandom very slowly as the TV show ramped up, and then just sort of infected all of the various pieces. Just sort of slid in incognito. I am, my day job is being a writer, you know, so I write like romances and sci-fi fantasy, and which is very fun and cool, but I'm a fangirl first and foremost and forever. I have been reading the Wheel of Time book since I was 15 in the mid-90s. You know, I used to go on GeoCities fan sites for them. I never really participated in the fandom until they announced the TV show. And then I just started wandering around trying to find where the people were. when they announced the casting on Twitter, and I was so nervous because I was like, oh no, trolls are going to say terrible things in the replies to this. And then I went into the replies and it was just all of these role-playing accounts saying wonderful things and then jumping on racists. And I was like, oh my God, I love this fandom. I'm going to join it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my journey into this.
Statistically the best fandom.
Absolutely. Though I will say statistically not the chillest.
Oh my God, they are so not the chillest fandom.
No.
That is so accurate. We can't go like a month without some form of drama. The only time we have no drama is like, you know, when Twitter breaks.
I don't know. I feel like we're kind of exhausted right now. We just dramaed so hard for a couple months. Everyone's just sort of like flopped in the corner, like trying to drama, but like not quite able to get the energy going.
It has been different with season two, hasn't it? Like season one ended and it was just like, okay, we've done that. It ended. Tomorrow's Christmas. Then there's New Year's and just all the shit that goes with that. And I remember I was like, I need to like not Wheel of Time for like 6 weeks or a couple of months, or I need to like not do stuff for a while. I was so wiped. This time I'm a bit better. Like I was overwhelmed during the season, in a good way. But post season, I've been good. So how have you been post season? Has it been better this time? Were you more prepared, you think? Or
well, you know, it's funny because like I have last season I had a book deadline for Tor, ironically. And like, I managed to get the book off to copy it. It's like 4 days before the season dropped. So I didn't have to do anything. And so I just went crazy. This time I had a book deadline for Amazon Publishing, also ironically. And
love that.
It was in the middle of the season. And so like, I was late on my book trying to like watch and also participate. So I feel like when I finally turned my book in mid-season, then I went absolutely bananas. So I've still got some bananas left in me.
That's fair. Wow. You had to put together a book in the middle of season two.
So and hard. Trying to finish. I was trying to do that. No, I wanted to watch. And I was like, is there nowhere I can call and say, like, Amazon, how dare you? You have to, someone move my book deadline, move the season. Just line this up better for me next time.
Yeah, it should be in, like, your author's notes section, like, massive Wheel of Time fan. Any schedule around the season drop will just be a pointless.
Yeah, just communicate deadline. Internally, yeah. Amazon. You can do that for me, right? Like, Tor didn't, but, you know. I used to, like, tweet crazy stuff at Tor, like, not doing work today, watching Wheel of Time, and they were like, it's cool. I was like, oh, they're sympathetic.
That's amazing.
So.
I feel like you could tweet stuff like that at Amazon.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I did put it in my acknowledgements for this book. I was like, please schedule season three more appropriately.
Oh, my God. That's so amazing.
You know, that's I mean. Yeah, my book that comes out in November, I have to say, it comes out November 28th. It is dedicated in part to Twitter of Time because everybody was chasing me around, driving me off of Twitter so I would finish it. So I appreciate the fandom for that.
That is amazing. What is the story? What is the book that comes out? Like, can you tell us, like, a blurb, a summary, whatever?
It is.
What can you share?
Mostly we've been running around calling it the Horny Dragon book. It is a sexy book, so definitely a little riskier than Wheel of Time would be, but it's a fantasy novel about a dragon and some ladies who were sent to murder him, and all of the hijinks that ensue, and romance, and sexy stuff, and it's called Consort of Fire, and it comes out real soon, so...
It is already November, folks. When this drops, it will be November 12th, but it is November 5th currently. I've spent the last 6-7 hours at home just listening to constant fireworks going off here in the UK, so that's been interesting. I'm just praying they got finished before the podcast recording. Did. Luckily. But, I mean, that feels appropriate that you're dedicating a risque fantasy book, in part, to probably one of the thirstiest fandoms out there. That kind of like it lines
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely,
good idea. Yeah,
this is such a. Oh, I love it. I love how thirsty this fandom is. It's you know, truly amazing. Especially season two, man. There, no villain will go unthirsted.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? I said this last week with Jen and Meg, like. Who likes Massima as a character? But I'm sorry, Hotsima?
Me?
Yeah, like...
I was watching it. Allie from Wheel Takes had gotten screeners, and so she just watched every episode with me to watch me watch it. And the whole fight in Atone's Mills, I just kept going, Hotsima, what? Hotsima, what? What? Hotsima? I was very confused. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Yeah. What are they doing to me?
They are just breaking us all.
Seriously.
So, yeah, it's a ridiculous thing. So you've mentioned, obviously, finding Twitter of Time and the escapades of them helping you focus on writing your book as opposed to doing other things.
Very much.
But, like, how did you find Wheel of Time specifically? What caused you to pick up that first book?
My school librarian gave it to me. She was ordering epic fantasies for me, trying to find, because I read, there were only a few of them in our school library. And this is funny, because it was like a Catholic school. But it wasn't, like, it was a Catholic prep school, but a lot of people went there who weren't Catholic, like, including me. And the librarian was just like, okay, this chick likes fantasy novels. I'm going to go find her more fantasy novels. And so somebody had, like, she had found something about the Wheel of Time. So she got Eye of the World and she gave it to me. And that was like, I was 10th grade. I was like, you know, 15 or so. And so, yeah, that was the beginning of it. And then all of my friend groups started reading them. And so we would fight to get the next library copy, and then someone would have to go out and get their parents to buy it for them, because there were, like, four of us, like, clobbering it out trying to get through the copies. And I think there were maybe, I think we got through. I know that somebody gave me Fires of Heaven for Christmas that year, when I was 15. So we had read the first four, basically, fighting it out. And then I had to wait after Fires of Heaven.
Right.
So that was my first one, like, you know, so I like carried that one around for a really long time, reading like books 4 and 5 over and over again, mm-hmm. waiting. That was my first wait.
That was when the longing began for you.
Yes, my first experience with what would become a long tradition of waiting mm-hmm. for the next book.
Absolutely. I think I picked the books up in about 2000-ish. And so I had to, my longing or waiting began at, quote, the slog. And,
oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a slog. I feel like I'm going to end up bringing this up every week because I keep asking this question of how did you find what? And then I keep sharing my story. But we are, and again, this came up last week, but I think it's apt. We are used to the longing between seasons.
Yes.
Because we did the longing for the most of us between books.
Absolutely. And it was,
and things like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, the season's longing, I think it's more fun for me now because I didn't have anyone to long with. Like, I mean, I guess I could have gone online and found the fandom, but I just, at some that point I hadn't. So I was just longing alone. Aww. And it is more fun to long with other people.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. We all have fun on Twitter sometimes, but do you have a favorite thing to do during the longing? Is there something like, you know, I'm going to, you know, just tweet out crazy things about cats, or I'm going to, you know, read other books, or I'm going to binge TV series. Like, how do you deal with the longing? What's your preferred method for dealing with?
Well, I do like to feeling? Like, you know, I like to go back because I am obsessive writer brain. I like to go back and find like really subtle foreshadowing and parallels, like from season one. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm going back and finding these like tiny things, and then I can just drop devastating tweets on Twitter that makes everybody really depressed, and then I can run away. So I'm an evil writer. That's sort of like my thing. Just, you know,
devastating tweets.
Yeah.
Do you have an example?
Well, you know what's
really
awful?
Do I need
really
to go scroll
awful?
Your Twitter account now? Is that what I should do?
What's really awful is I did, like, are we full spoilers for the show?
We
people
are
have watched
full
it
spoilers,
at this point.
Yes.
Before it was whatever, she cut her hair off in the finale, right? Yeah. And like 4 hours before that dropped, my devastating tweet was basically Egwene like rebraiding her hair to reclaim herself, like, put against like pictures of, you know, the braid ceremony from episode 1 and how powerful that was. And then she cut off her hair and I was like, oh shit, I did it to myself. I cut myself. I played myself.
I mean, that's I suppose that's karma rolling around, isn't it?
Yeah, I really had that coming.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like to do, but you know, otherwise, yeah, I'm reading a lot of Kelly Armstrong right now. Kelly Armstrong is one of my favorite writers. She writes like thrillers and supernatural stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm binging a lot of audiobooks at the moment.
Okay.
So that kind of keeps me in different genres, like get me out of the fantasy headspace for a little bit so I can come back fresh and excited again.
Now, I know a lot of people with audiobooks. I'm a one-time speed audiobook listener.
Oh,
I'm gathering. I was about to ask if you weren't, and I'm assuming by that, oh, that you are not.
I'm not like one of those crazy people. I'm weird. I'm like, I do it like 1.25. I can't really commit to very fast, but I don't go all the way slow. And then sometimes my app will reset or something, and I'll be like, why did they change the narrator? And it's just that it's like the difference between 1 and 1.25 is tiny. But also not. Right.
Yeah, I know some people are like, oh, I listen on like 2 or 1.75.
No.
I'm like, what? How are you doing this?
No.
I don't think I could listen to Wheel of Time on that speed. And I obviously have listened to the books 2 or 3 times like that as well as reading them. So, but okay, I mean, 1.25,
it's a little faster, you know. I'm from New England. People talk kind of fast there.
Is it just for time purposes or?
No, I'm impatient. It's the ADHD. I'm like, don't go too slow or I'll stop listening. I'll get distracted because you're, you know, you're pausing between words and I'm like, oh, this is boring. So
do you have people narrate your books? Do you have your books go out as
they do?
And do you, there do was you one, there were a your few... narrator?
We, oh God, the narrators they've got for this one that's coming out. They got us three different narrators and they are so good. So we have three main characters. So they got one for each point of view.
Well, that's really cool.
It is. It is. And they are incredible. I've been listening. It's hard for me to listen to my books. I can't usually do it. I just get so self-conscious that I cannot listen. But I've listened to some clips of this audiobook because they are so good.
Wonderful. Okay. I might have to look into that.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Our listeners are commenting, anything above 1.4 is too much for me, but 1.25 is perfect for Michael and Kate, says Sulin. And Anna's agreeing with that because they sound so sexy. So
yeah, okay. Anna's heard clips of them. I posted some.
Oh, right. Anna's agreeing with you. Right.
Okay. Yeah, I posted some clips on my Discord I had, and they are definitely... The guy who did the casting, he did such a good job. Just excellent choices. So I'm very excited about this audiobook.
Nice.
Even if I can't listen to it.
Even if you can't listen to it. Well, I mean, a sexy narrator on a book called Loki called The Horniest Dragon. I mean, it seems appropriate. So
it is. It is. Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the funniest things is that I have like literally won multiple awards for writing erotic romance, but I can't listen to sexy audiobooks. I only listen to I always read romance. I don't listen to it on audio because I'm always like, narrator, I do not know you this well. You cannot be saying these words in my kitchen. No.
So if it was someone you knew, maybe you could listen to it.
Maybe. If you Anna, know.
Anna, you need to do some narration. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm gonna say if it was, you know, someone who I knew really well, maybe, but that also might just make it worse. I'm just like, oh, now I'm self-conscious because you're reading my words.
I do remember one time I was in a Zoom call with friends during COVID. And Andrew, the bard of time, decided to narrate some erotica for us. And it was both incredible and disturbing all at the same time because he's got that very deep voice. And his inflection is great anyway. But he really just went for it, fully committed. And it's like, this was amazing to see because he was on video chat as well, like to see and to hear, but also disturbing because I'm like, it's Andrew also. I can see that going both ways there.
It is amazing. I have nothing but respect for people who listen to my sexier books in public. Like, I get stories sometimes about, like, toll booth operator snafus and, like, you know, things like going over company speakers that were meant to be in the, like, iPods and, like, yeah, that's brave. That's listening hardcore.
Wow. Okay. I mean, what would be the craziest story now? I'm curious about that. I mean, I was
the
scrolling...
toll booth operator one where like they just weren't paying attention. They weren't thinking about it. And they just went through the toll booth during like a freaking 6-person sex scene.
Oh my gosh.
Full orgy in the toll booth. And I was just like, they got on the other end. They're like, oh my God, I didn't even think about it. Like just rolling the window down, giving them $1.25.
Ah, that's amazing.
So,
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so funny because I was scrolling Instagram earlier and I came across an interview with Matthew Perry and he was talking about how he was, you know, he wasn't with anyone. He was single at home and he was like, I'm going to scratch an itch. I'm going to watch some porn, you know, and he's watching and he's describing, you know, how like when he's done, like you need to turn it off and whatever. And just, you know, and he's like, for some reason, I can't get the TV to turn off. So like I turn it down to zero because it's less weird with no sound on. And that's when he realizes the previous night he'd been listening to music out on his balcony. And for an hour, because he wanted to commit and take his time, for an hour, he had been blasting porn through his outside speakers. She sat inside. So there's a, you know, it's ironic, you know, coincidental that you're telling this story when I heard it seems to be it happens, a snafu like that. So.
Seriously, the Bluetooth sexy audiobook or I guess porn snafus are a real thing. They're a danger.
Yeah. They are a danger, folks. Be careful when you listen to these. Like, we're getting them now. Not getting examples, but like Sulin's saying in chat, you've got audiobooks, some of your favorite fan fictions, and she forgets the sex scenes and has an out-of-body experience when they come on the AirPods on a train to work. And Anna really likes reading Beyond in the train and giggling to herself that the people around have no idea what she's reading right now.
Beyond is one of is my infamous award-winning very sexy right? toll booth series. Okay. That is the toll booth series.
That's the toll booth series. Nice.
Yeah, so okay. Definitely a racy series.
Right. I love that. That's brilliant. Oh, my next question has nothing to do with raciness, but it's so funny that we've just so. But again, I mean, it kind of does. So we did talk about like Hot Zebra a little while ago. I just can't get over the toll booth; it's still killing me. but talking about characters like Massima, is there a character in Wheel of Time that perhaps you think people would be surprised to hear that you dislike? So I'm not a fan of Egwene, for example.
Okay, well, we're going to now cancel this.
See? People react like that. You know, it's not like a dislike her. It's more a case of just like, eh. You know, is there a character for you where you think people would be surprised that I don't actually overly like this character?
I feel like it's not, like, it's hard to surprise people because I'm so vocal. Like, I have, like, an entire bit about the fact that I hate Talonvor more than anyone in the world. Right. I hate Talonvor. Like, when Jenny needed to, Lesbian Nerdy needed to raise money for her avatar, I did a thing where you could, like, pay me money, donate money to her to make me compliment Talonvor. And it was really hard after the first four people made me do it. I was like, I don't know. I guess he probably doesn't litter. Maybe he does. I don't know.
He probably doesn't litter. I don't know. I would say he doesn't litter, actually. Like, he strikes me as the type, you know, unless he needed to go save a woman. Yes. Whether she actually needs saving or not. Then he's like, well, yeah, I will litter
probably
now,
not.
And then I will come back later.
I hate Talonvor. Yeah. And also, I'm going to be real. I'm one of the people that Rand gets on my nerves pretty often. I'm a Rand and Matt. You know, Matt is different. Matt, I either love or hate him. It just depends on where we are in the series. It's like strong love or strong hate. Rand, I'm just like, baby, a lot of people out there love you. They got you. Just stay away from me.
All right. I mean, that's two of the boys. Where does Perrin fit on the scale then? I'm curious.
Perrin is my baby.
Oh, okay. See, now we're friends because Perrin's my favorite character. So, you know.
So, yeah. I love Perrin. I mean, I feel like the fact that I grew up to write, like, werewolves probably means a little Perrin responsibility in there. Like, you know, yeah. I love Perrin. The blacksmith, gentle giant whole thing is just, like, one of my favorite tropes. So,
yeah.
He and Lan are the boys that I like in Wheel of Time, basically.
Agreed. So something interesting just been put in chat. Anna's glad that she knows that apparently I'm a good person, because when men say they dislike Egwene, that's usually a red flag. I'm not aware of this.
It is.
Is that a thing? Well, I mean, I'm like, not, I don't, like, I don't hate Egwene. It's more just like she's never a character. It's always just like, oh, okay. Like, there are scenes where I'm like, this is amazing. Like, you know, when she saves the tower and things like that, epic. But there are other times where I'm like, I feel like she, you know, her and Nynaeve, when she just forces those dream guys on her and stuff like that, it's just...
Yeah, that is one of the...
Yeah.
The way I'm going to say, like, we talk about this so much in the Egwene whole cinematic universe, I feel like that's the thing that Robert Jordan did not understand the import of what he was doing. Because, like, I hate that scene, because the next day Nynaeve's like, gosh, it was awful when she tried to make me drink something gross. And I'm like, oh, that's what we're taking away from this?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you know, it makes it very, like, you know.
It's like, yeah, I don't think he... This,
she's like the zero on the scale from, like, going up is a like and going negative is a dislike. Like, she sits very zero for me.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. I don't know if you spend much time on Reddit, but they, like, from what I have heard and have seen posts of, they freaking hate her. They call her, like, arrogant, and, you know, her ambition is all, like, very evil, and she's selfish, and she's you know, cruel, and she like gets all of her stuff that she doesn't deserve. And like, there's a lot of Egwene hate. Like, I came, one of my first, like, when I didn't really join the fandom, but I sort of bounced against it, was with the Tor. Leah Butler was doing the rereads on Tor. And like, oh my God, the comments were full of Egwene hate. And I was like, well, I guess I gotta stay out of there. Because she loved Egwene. But like, man, people in the comments did not like Egwene. Which was a shock to me, because she's one of my favorites.
I mean, I'm aware of, you know, everyone likes characters and dislikes characters, but I didn't realize there was, maybe I should be less vocal about not liking Egwene.
Well, I feel like you just said you don't love her, but you don't hate her. Yeah. Like, I'm talking people hate like her.
I'm like, what was the word for it? When you're like, you know, you don't like, but you don't dislike. Like, I'm...
You're ambivalent.
Ambivalent. Yeah, I'm ambivalent towards Egwene. That's probably a better word to use. I like that. Okay. Trust the author to come out with a nice big word. I like that.
Well, so, I think that's like... Yeah, you didn't say it in a way that that gave me the red flags, because like, I feel like the red flags, they're really obvious, because the people who don't like Egwene, they come in real sexist pretty much off the top. Okay. It's got those like...
Woman in
like,
power. I've heard the argument all that sort of crap.
That Egwene left home and never regretted it, unlike the boys. And I'm like, she was the one writing letters home to the family, y'all. I don't...
Yeah.
Like, what? It's just like, the weirdest things to dislike her for.
Home. I don't even think Nynaeve wrote home, actually, did she?
I mean, I don't know who she'd be writing to.
That's true. God, yeah, that's awful.
That's
to
so
say.
Sad.
She got no one to write to. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, I know. Oh, Nynaeve's my other favorite, so I'm always like, yeah, I will say the painful things.
Nynaeve, like, I go through phases. Sometimes I'm like, I love Nynaeve. Other times I'm just like, oh, you're driving me crazy right now. I think... overall, she's definitely a character I like, but yeah, like you with Matt, like depending on what she's up to, it's just like, no, I hate you as a character right now, or actually, no, I love you, you're doing great. So yeah, I think Nynaeve to me is Matt to you. So
I grew a Nynaeve braid in high school, just gonna put it out there. So I'm I'm Egwene is me, and so sometimes I'm like, I don't like how much I know exactly what you're doing right now. But Nynaeve is like, I love her. I just love her. The more mad she is, the more I love her.
That's, yeah. So, I mean, she has a very impressive temper. And, you know, it's something to behold. And Zoe's doing an amazing job.
So good.
Actually nailing it. That's amazing. So this is really fun. I didn't expect character discussion to be so all over the place and stuff like that.
No, it is funny. It is, you know, Talonvor is my I know that Gawain is definitely a lightning rod and a lot of people hate him, but I can defend him up until the very final books. Like, I can see that there was a potential in this arc, and then the decisions made in the last book are like so bananas.
It's funny. They're wrong, but I can understand his logic of how he made them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's, yeah, he's an interesting character.
I can't wait for the show to cast some devastating, charming person that we're all going to have to like. And then I mean, 17 Gawain fans out there are going to be like, it's my time now.
You watch, they'll just cast John from What Up, won't they?
That's the secret he's been sitting on this whole time.
That's why he knows so much about the show.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Oh, God.
You know, John from What Up is probably, I think that he is probably the reason that I found the fandom. Because I was searching on YouTube and I found his videos. I was just like, somebody tell me show news. And I found his videos and I went to his Discord. And then Jenny, Lesbian Nerdy, had posted a response to the casting race controversy in there. Mm-hmm. So I clicked on her. And then I like immediately latched on to Jenny and just like made Jenny drag me through the fandom. But I wouldn't have found Jenny without John. So I'm going to say thank you, John. You pretty much catapulted me in here.
Talking about like finding the fandom stuff like that, since you've been in, do you have a favorite moment with Wheel of Time, the fandom, like something that's happened to you. I've been to an event, or I was at one, you know, a book signing, or I was on Twitter one day and someone said something like, is if you could think of all your time since John dragged you in and Jenny whipped you around, what a sentence. Is there a moment that stands out as a possible favorite?
I think the most pivotal one was that Wheel Takes was doing the Grinwell Cup. And like, this was the one that probably changed how I interact with fandom, because I was still being pretty low key. Like, I wasn't hiding that I was an author, but I was just sort of like kind of subtly creeping around in there. Like, you know, I don't want to make any big waves. And I saw a poll, Jenny retweeted a poll, like, how is Nynaeve losing? And I was like immediately affronted. I was like, how can Nynaeve lose anything? Because she's the best person ever. And Delusions of Grendel showed up and she's like, well, why don't you go get your 20,000 followers to do something about it? And I was like, I will. And so I quote tweeted the poll with, go vote for Nynaeve or I'll stab you or something like that. I don't block you. Violent, violent poll. And apparently I blew up their poll and poor Gus and Allie were over there like, why the fuck is this author suddenly like going crazy at us?
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So yeah, that was sort of my like, okay, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to Kool-Aid man into the fandom now. No more subtlety. And yeah. I got to know Gus and Allie because of that. Like, I started listening to their podcast and then I got to know them both really well. And, you know, we are friends now and it's been made my life significantly better. So I'm very glad Delusion showed up and was like, go do something about it.
I mean, that's very much Delusions, isn't it?
Yes. She definitely just like puts you in a headlock and takes you to where you need to be.
She really does, in the best way.
Always.
And Allie and Gus are so wonderful. I love talking to Allie and Gus all the time. Yes. They're so much fun. And I'm so glad that as time goes on, Allie gets further and further through the books, because it's then less and less difficult to be like, wait, what can I not talk about? And Gus, what can I say? And he's like, we're up to this point. We're up to the cleansing, or whatever it might be. And I'm like, okay, that makes it easier for me.
Okay, but I'm just going to say, watching the last few episodes of like watching season two with her watching me was occasionally very fraught. Because there's just shit like the whole episode. I mean, she's not going to listen to this because it's full spoilers. So I'm just going to say it. She was watching me the whole episode where like Varen was going around with Leandrin and Sharium. And I'm just like, Bree, your face can say nothing. Because oh my she God, doesn't know about Varen yet. She's got all these like crazy theories. But her theory is that Sharium is the triple agent. So we're watching this all and she's looking at it and she's got like, you know, and she also has this whole theory that like Vandine is Black Aja and killed her sister. And so like when they cast Varen as Vandine, that made her go, is Varen Black Aja? Is she going to kill? So there's like all this stuff going on and Allie's watching me like, I'm going to get some clues from you. And I'm like, oh God, don't look me straight in the eye, because
she's real sneaky as well. Yeah.
She's so sneaky too.
Absolutely. I do love those two. I had a similar experience to Allie and Gus when you talked about your followers. And I think it was because you did the season one. Was it like the Twitter voice thing? Season one finale?
We did that together.
We did that together, didn't we? And I had...
We trauma bonded. It's like we tried to stay connected.
We did. Oh my God. We both kept, it's like Christmas Eve or some shit. We're both getting like knocked out constantly in this like Twitter call thing, whatever. Spaces. That's what it was on Twitter.
Spaces.
Space.
Very bad.
And it was, you could only connect on your phone. It was ridiculous, this thing. But yeah, I think we got there in the end. I don't even know if it wasn't recorded or anything. It was a very bizarre thing for Amazon to choose to do, but whatever. So that's what they decided to go with. I knew you. Like I'd seen you around in servers and things like that and on Twitter, but I'd never, you know, you don't click on people's profiles very often and be like, you know, scroll through their Twitters or whatever. And so I had no idea how many followers you had. Like, I think you'd quote tweeted me or like a tag or something had happened. And Suddenly Twitter's like, an account that's much larger than you has just quoted your reply to you or something like that. Do you want to limit how many people can reply to this or something like that? I was like, and I'm like, what? What's going on? And then I go click on it. I'm like, oh, you've got like 20,000 followers. Holy crap. You know, and there's me. This is like back in the day where I'm like, I've got like 1,000 or something stupid. I mean, not that I have 20,000 now, but like 2.5 or something stupid. So it's still tiny. But yeah, I remember that. So I can only imagine what it was like for Ali and Gus back in, you know, back when they first did the Gridwell camp.
And, you know, well, the thing is, it's hilarious too, because like most of my followers know nothing about Wheel of Time. Or at least back then they didn't. They were just like, Brie, you just keep tweeting obsessively. So like I was out there like following Twitter of Time constantly, just trying to get someone who would talk to me. Because my followers are not Wheel of Time people, you know, but I have like managed to make a lot of them watch the show at least. So I've got that going for me.
That's great.
But you know, yeah. So like, yeah, now, Amazon,
Brie would have more time to make her 20,000 followers watch Wheel of Time if you didn't schedule books during the season drop.
Yes.
Just saying,
that's
Amazon.
What I'm saying. You know, line that up a little bit for me.
Yeah. Use your tools. Use your tools. They're there for a reason. So, you know.
It was really tremendously funny to me that, like, I went from tour to Amazon, you know, during that. I'm just, like, working with all the people working on the show.
Yep.
So. But, yeah, it was fun. I'm never going to forget that Spaces because it was it's so funny. Trying to stay connected. It was a weird choice. And weren't we, like, counter-programming the Dusty Wheel and Brandon Sanderson or something?
I know as well. And it was funny because they'd been like, Dusty had been doing the official after show or something. Mm-hmm. And I was so like, okay, so they're not doing an official after show for episode 8, but they're going to schedule it when Dusty's on. And it was so bizarre, all of it. I didn't feel like it was the best planned thing.
It was not at all.
It was really bizarre. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning for me or something. It was obviously, let's be honest, not the world's greatest episode. So we're all there trying not to be like, you know, just dog shit on it. But at the same time,
I'm very defensive of it, but only in a, I can't believe they fucking finished an episode of TV under those circumstances. Like,
absolutely, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's there being my...
Like, you know, there are things you have to give them credit for, things you have to be like, well, that can't, you know, you can't have, you know, 150 guys dressed up in Trolloc suits fighting an army because, you know, COVID restrictions.
Yeah, you know, they lost
the
all
same
the risk.
You want to be like, you think you could have spent a little bit more time on the CG, baby. So, yeah. You know, like, it was that fun balancing act. And yeah, during the time of scheduling against Dusty and Brent, and it was not recorded, so no one could ever, if they weren't there then, they couldn't listen back. It was a very...
That's good. Yeah, nobody will ever know that I said that I gave Rand my favorite character spot for that episode. Good. Let that... No proof.
Oh, yes.
I think Jenny tweeted it like, what? Brie just said Rand's her favorite character in this episode.
I mean, thinking back to the episode, fair. Absolutely fair.
And listen, I did, like, even though the show was a mess around it, I think that, like, the way they set up the final battle, like, the way that Rand's going to have to fight the last battle with subtle things and that, mm-hmm. I think there was so much, even down to, like,
agree.
You know... The Egwene and the Rand stuff, and Rand respecting other people's agency being the key to it.
I know.
Because
that's
what it is in the end. That's what Rand has to decide, to let everybody else be heroes so that he can, you know, have stand up and do the part that he needs to do.
Absolutely.
So
it was
face it on
was
your feet.
Moment.
We're just building. Each of these finales is building the last battle. So they know what they're doing.
I just need
less COVID and apocalypses.
This is true, yes. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, we had COVID for season 1. We've got strikes for season 2. Oof, I'm, you know, season 3, better.
Dinosaurs are coming back or something. I don't know. Is it going to be Jurassic Park? I don't know. Something crazy.
Yeah, I hope not. But yeah, it's... See, let's fingers crossed. But it's been amazing. So a lot of people have like the Wheel of Time account and what series, like they have the Twitter alert set on. do you do any of that? Do you like have any accounts that you have the social media alerts set on for you? Like, yeah. I need to know when the person tweets.
I've never, ever put an alert on any account before, but I have it for the Wheel of Time account. And I have Rafe on Instagram.
Okay.
These like are the only alerts that I have in my entire life. But I've had them since like basically the beginning. So I know I get an alert whenever Wheel of Time posts and whenever Rafe does anything on Instagram. Which makes me feel a tiny bit like a stalker, but you know.
I mean, come on. Whenever you see Geeky Eerie out there with the posts of like, this so-and-so must have was in this country on this date. And, you know, like, I mean,
honestly,
she's got the cast tagged or something. Like, it's mad. So don't feel bad.
I have nothing but respect for her. If I want to know anything, I immediately go to her. Like, sometimes I'll just go back. Like, if I've been offline, I'll just go back and scroll her timeline to see what I've missed.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, don't feel bad about having that turned on for Rafe. And let's be honest, that's where he puts up the good stuff. Like, you know, the G&Ts happen. He puts it up on Instagram because he knows the story is going to disappear in 24 hours. But he forgets that we screenshot and it's a lot of fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, those are those are my ones. So I honestly should put Watt series on there because I do need to know, like, when I go into my deadline cave, I come back out and I feel like 9,000 things has happened. I missed Steve, okay? Like, I came back onto Twitter after having been, like, in writing for 2 days and everybody's name was Steve. And I was like, what the fuck is happening?
And it's not funny after the fact. You have to
be there. I was just like, guys, why is everyone named Steve? Why is everything Steve? Somebody explain this to me.
You should have changed your Twitter handle to like, who is Steve? Like, what the fuck? Why are you Steve? You know, something basically. About that. Why is everybody Steve? Confused.
Sometimes I get very sad when I miss those. I did manage to be a Rafe Judkins originalist briefly. And I went very, very hard.
The originalist discussions.
Yo, that one was definitely fun. I am a Rafe Judkins originalist, so.
I learned of this like long, long after the fact, but I knew of the originalist thing. So it was a strange situation for me when I found out. So often you hear things and people say them with the tone of like, it's an established joke or saying or phrase or whatever. So I heard a Michael Livingston originalist, I think involving the Lightswork server and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, I kind of get like from context what's going on here. And I just sort of rolled with it and it's fine. Not until 6 months ago, 4 months ago, something like that, I found out about this guy called Rodney and like, I'm a Robert Jordan originalist or Wheel of Time originalist or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I missed the entire thing. And then people are like, oh yeah, Rodney, blah, blah, and sending me screenshots and stuff. I was like, oh, okay. So that was my Steve moment.
Yes, you know, definitely fun. In. You but, miss it and then you come back and you're like, oh, well, that's where that started.
Yeah. And sometimes you're like, okay,
you know, just like know the fandom was on some goofballs that day and just took something way crazy, which the originalist thing was. We just went, we were all real hyper, I guess.
We get thirsty for information, you know, we have to theorize, and that's a beautiful segue into the next segment of like, what has the fandom been up to?
Oh boy.
Let's kick it off with the What series polls. For
Are these the favorite character polls?
Favorite characters from season one or something? Season two, sorry. Don't know why I said season one. Let me go to What series and find out. Season two, yeah. Thank you. People are telling me in chat, Rob, get it right. Yeah, not paying attention. Now I know Moraine won.
It was close with Lanfear though, wasn't it?
It was 42-58.
Wow.
So, who would be your favorite character from season two? How did you vote in these? Did you keep track of it? Like,
what? I did not. I feel like I have to be careful because sometimes I get hyper competitive, which is what the Grinwell Cup thing was. And I just start like coming out there and stabbing everybody. But I was watching it and I was like, occasionally something would go by where I was like, oh my God, I am going to kill somebody over the disrespect on display right now. So I didn't go fight in this one, though I did love, I saw a couple of graphics of the Lanfear versus Moraine showdown that were like mm-hmm. staged like those like MMA fighter things, right. Yeah. Which were flawless and beautiful. Lanfear really did. I cannot say that I had strong opinions about her before season two. And I think that I like am still called Lanfear Stan account on a couple discords at the moment. So,
oh my gosh,
she did come into my heart this season, or her wardrobe did at least.
Fair with the wardrobe, like, except the headpiece, but the rest of it. Fine.
Oh no, the headpiece. The dominatrix. Was great.
No. The headpiece made it kooky. Like, the rest of it was epic. She don't need no headpiece. Then when we go back to the dream, Rand's like, save me by doing something extremely in character and going right out in public and blowing shit up. Yeah. Did not like that moment, by the way.
Oh, God, I loved it.
I love Sula in the chat right now. Sula in the chat's like, not kooky, Rob. Kinky. Yes, the rest of the outfit, but the hat was not. The headpiece was not.
Okay, I'm going to say this. Wide angle, it was great. I loved it because it had like the little points. It was like Maleficent, but I will admit that close in, it had a little Bo Peep thing going on that was not ideal.
Thank you.
And so I will say that full screen, if the whole thing was great, but maybe the framing could have been a little more careful.
Yeah. Like, so, when it was Maleficent vibes, I'm like, oh, okay, like, I'm liking this initially. And then when you got close, I was like, no, it doesn't work anymore. So, but when, like, Rand goes back and she's not wearing the headpiece, but she's in the rest of it, I'm like, nailing it. So, but Lanfear, not, I didn't like Innkeeper Selene. That didn't, I don't
know. Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, I mean, I didn't like her, but I loved her. I feel like what they did is give me this woman who, like, everybody has had a friend who is hyper competent and she just needs to go rule the world, but her dirtbag ex texts and she just goes and makes terrible life decision after terrible life decision, even though he is like nowhere near on her level. And now Rand is like wandering up like, hey, come save me. And she's like, okay, I'll blow up the world. Perfect.
Yeah, no, I got a lot of the crazy ex-girlfriend vibes, and I hate when people just, like, pigeon... Lanfear is not, like, my favorite Forsaken by any stretch, but when people just pigeon her into that crazy ex-girlfriend role, I'm just like, ugh, it's...
But see, here's the thing. I didn't get crazy ex-girlfriend because that's centering Rand. I got chick who can't ditch the worthless ex vibes. Brilliant chick. Okay. She's smart and she's powerful. And she clearly can do whatever the fuck she wants. She's just wandering around like flicking these all the most powerful Aes Sedai over like bowling pins. You know, it's just that she can't get over this one thing. And it's like my favorite part was the Daughter of the Night episode where she clearly had this whole plan where she was going to reject him and make him feel the sting like when he rejected her. And then she thought then he said that he loved her. And she lost it.
You love me. Yeah.
Plan exploded in her head because she just can't hold it together because she's got this one stupid boy weakness.
Right. Yeah.
And so now, like that's what I like.
I did enjoy. Yeah. I really loved her and Ishii where they were like besties that flirt.
Yes. Pajama parties forever.
They're just going to fuck each other over. And they both know it, but they're both like, we're going to play the game anyway. And we're going to, you know, yeah, that bit was great. But, you know, exposed myself, blowing up the Foregate, Innkeeper Selene, and...
Yeah, but like, what did she suffer from exposing herself? I mean, beneath her that she does not have to care.
I don't know. I just feel like she was trying to play under the radar so much. It plays into the, you know, obsessive ex-girlfriend or like I can't get over him vibe where it's just like he asks and she's like, okay, I'll throw my hide under the radar plan into the wind and just
She was only under the radar until he figured out who she was. So why does she have to be under the radar anymore? Now she has to be fabulous and useful and tempting. Yeah. Tempting. I think that's the thing. So, you know, I think that I will say that I have always been an apologist because if I were just trying to find a source of power that wasn't slanted so men are always top out more powerful than women, and I drilled into it and it turned out it was Satan, I'd be like, oh, okay, Satan is the only gender neutral thing in this universe. Hail Satan. So,
all right, that's a valid argument right there. Okay,
I mean, if Satan's the only one who thinks men and women should be like using power equally, then I guess sign me up. So,
I've never heard such a great argument for Satan in my life.
Well,
obviously, contingent on the fact that Satan thinks everyone should be equal.
I mean, unfortunately, the world building is a little flawed in that respect. Yeah. Because men are always stronger in the power than women. At least they top out. They have more potential. And so as long as that's true, then inequality is Satan juice. You know?
That's a hashtag. Equality is Satan juice.
That is my argument. It has always been my Lanphier defense. She was just for gender equality, and she found Satan, and I guess that's what she had to settle for.
Yeah, no, valid. Absolutely valid. I'm totally down for this. And as Zula's put in chat, the Dark One comes with childcare. So, you know.
Right? Right? I mean, freaking, you know, Trolloc petting zoo is not my idea of fun, but that kid seemed to be okay with it.
Yeah, exactly. This is true. So, I mean, I maybe now I have a different reason for saying I'm Black Aja, because people like, you know, what's your Aja? I'm like, oh, I'm Black. And my reason has always been the Black Aja in the book are so incompetent that they're just, like, if you're going to be evil, be good at it, you know? Like, no one, let's be honest, we don't want people to be evil, but, you know, if you are going to be evil, at least be good at it. If you're incompetently evil, it's just like, well, it's disappointing in a way. So I was like, I'll be Black Aja and we'll do it right.
There
now
you go.
I'll just be like, well, I'm Black Aja because, you know.
I believe in equality.
I believe in equality, and Satan's the only one that's like, both women and men use the same power, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Equality and childcare.
Equality and childcare, yeah, it just works on so many levels. So, brilliant.
So I'm going to ask you a question. What did you think of Lanphier rolling up and just like murdering Leandrin's dad, and then being like, "Come to the lady's side."
Super casual. I know, right? Super casual about that. That was because
Leandrin's like, smash the patriarchy, literally.
Yeah, it's like. Just going to kill all the men. I like kill the bad guys. Yes. Poor Eludrin, who Twitter lost their mind over Eludrin.
Oh, I remember? I'm not even getting involved with this because we're all going to find out in like literally 12 hours that this is not.
I know.
But okay, guys, work it out.
Yeah, they're gonna get rid of Eludrin. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, the dude's just dying, just laying there, you know, in pain, and she's just like, "I'm just gonna suck all the air away from your lungs," and just that. Yeah, I mean, it shows how evil she has chosen to be. But
and she's like, "Oh, now that you don't have anything on your schedule, would you like to work for me?"
Yeah, it's like, oh, I see you have some clashes in your availability here. Let me clear that up for you. And now you're available to be my PA 24/7. So
absolutely.
It was a dark scene, but I think it really made us like Leandrin more, didn't it?
A little bit.
We felt bad for Leandrin, and now we feel even like there's more of that just going, we were like, oh, poor Leandrin, like, you know, she's suffering, she's going through this, she's going through that, and I think it's kind of just setting us up for Leandrin, really, just like, we like her, we feel bad for her, and then in later seasons, somewhere along the line, she's gonna like double cross a lot of us, and we're gonna be like, heartbreak. I think
it is, they are doing a really good job. I loved how hurt all of us were. That poor little Barthanas, who, as Ryan on the Wheel Takes Discord said, his entire personality in the book is being a dark friend. How shocked we all were that he was a dark friend. They did such a good job.
It was so good. He's like, oh, Auntie, I make the best sandwiches. I remember watching that and be like, don't eat it. It's poison. It's poison. Because I was like, I was all for the switcheroo. I was like, nah, he's dark friend, not his mother. Like, he's definitely still the dark friend. He's just, you know, doing it for fun or like family advancement or whatever type thing. And maybe they're both dark friends, but he, like, if one of them is, it's definitely him. And obviously that's what it turned out to be. So I was like, don't eat the sandwich. It's poisoned. Poison butter, poison butter.
Oh, I was just like, he's so adorable. I love him and this cow. And then Moraine hugged him and I was like, oh fuck, he's the dark friend. Because like the minute she hugged him and I was like, God damn it. Can't have nice things. And I know we can't have nice things. So that was a nice thing.
Yeah, he was a fun character. So, I know.
I need more of these, just that. Like cheerful, cute little dark friends. Because I have always felt like,
when are we
like,
getting Peter, man? When are we getting Peter?
Like, you know, like poor Sheriam was just like, she literally just wanted to join the homeowners association for like social advancement. And she was like, fuck, I didn't know I was going to have to like actually deal with the freaking apocalypse. Like all these dark friends who just thought they were just like joining a work club to, you know, get ahead.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the freaking Forsaken are popping up like, hey, I'm here to murder your dad.
Yeah, here's the end of the world clause that only kicks in at the end of the world and means you have to like give up everything and do all these awful, horrible things. But probably what happened for 3,000 years. And they're like, yeah, fuck it, I'll just sign.
Yeah.
And then like a week later, you're like, well, actually it's happened now. You're like, God damn it. Like, seriously? What are the chances?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready for more of that.
Yeah, I agree. One other thing before we finish off with some more questions. This is fun. We're just going to have a great time. Have you seen the Theory Crew on Twitter? Have you ever come across them? Because they kick back into gear.
Yes.
So there's a few people. There's Kevin, Minari, Moradin's in there. There's a whole bunch. A lot of the folks are involved in the Hinderstream. So on November 3rd, a couple of days ago, the Blacktail Podcast tweeted finish this, let Autotype finish this sentence for you. And the sentence was, the barista at the Black Tower Starbucks gave me, and they use autocorrect to finish it. And the Wheel of Time replied to them and said, the barista at the Black Tower Starbucks gave me the season 3 release date, but it was written in hexadecimal code. And it was a huh, how, and then wrote four numbers as hexadecimal, 72, 75, 64, and 65. Which in hexadecimal spell the word rude. You know, how rude. funny. But then the innkeeper has gone and added this together. And then Kevin has jumped on this. And he's like, if you add 72, 75, 64, and 65 together, you get 276. 276 days later from this tweet is August 7th, 2024, which is a what Wednesday. And the innkeeper is predicting that will be the day that we get the release date for season 3. And Kevin's just like, oh, we're on. We are in. So what do you feel about that? Because my mild inquiry, shall we say, and the few bits that I've managed to just sort of snippets that I've heard here and there indicates a release date for season 3 being early 25.
Yeah.
So a release date announcement being in August kind of fits.
But yeah, I can see that. I mean, here's the thing. I don't know. The only thing I would question is if the social media manager knows, you know, already when it's going to be, if they've got it like completely nailed down. So that's the only thing, like, I mean, I don't know. I love the theories.
Making a point in chat. I do love the theories. Sunan's making a point in chat. Now, does that take into account the leap year?
Yeah,
because 24 is the leap year.
That is a good question. Factor in,
I'm going to have to reply to this tweet. Like, does this factor in
the leap year?
I'm typing right now, folks. Does this factor in 2024 being a leap year? Because if not, then it's a Tuesday or something. A leap yet? A leap year. Spelled correctly, Rob. Jesus. I'm terrible for typing. anyone who corresponds to me on a regular basis knows that I cannot type to save my life. Yeah, because Kevin and the Theory crew are really good with the whole 324 days drop thing from something that they put out. Oh no, he's already translated to how rude a catchphrase of Steven from Full House. A Full House and poker is three of a kind and two of a kind. 75 minus 72 is three. 65 minus 64 is one. 3 + 1 = 4. So three of a kind, two of a kind, 4. 3, 2, 4 confirmed, which is the release theory from the first season. And then they're like, oh, wait, so that's September. And he's like, is it really September? Blah, blah. And oh my God, they're getting into crazy stuff here. But
I mean, I did go down one of these holes with spirals with Kevin once with the yam thing. I did go all in on the yam.
Oh, tell me about the yams.
There was one, he did one of those things where the quizzes, the answers had like the correct answers, the first letter. It was either yam or, but it had said reverse. So I was like, May. Something's going to happen in May. I don't remember something happened in May. So, like, I don't know if I was right.
It probably
or not.
Promised the Origins release or something.
I was like, May
them,
but... or yams for Thanksgiving. Is something going to happen at Thanksgiving? So I went in on the yams for a while.
Okay.
That was my one while trying to decode. But most of the time, I'm like, you know what? I cannot add enough to do this. So I just let them go
fast for me. I'm just like, give me the summary at the end, Kev, because I ain't going to keep up in advance. So
no, you know who boggles my mind? Who is the puzzle guy who puts those freaking puzzle pieces together so fast?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was different ones. I forget his actual name. I forget his Discord name, but it's the guy. So I did the puzzle thing as well when it came out for season one. Just for fun, I happened to be off and there was, you know, a sell around and I started doing it. But Umberto is his actual name. He did the puzzle in Discord. It was funny. We all started doing it on different formats. There was, I think Critter was doing it on Twitch. I was doing it on YouTube. Umberto was doing it on Discord. Daniel Green did it for about 45 minutes and gave up on YouTube as well. And like people kept flipping back and forth from different formats to see who was where and stuff. But yeah,
put
that
I think
together
I was
really
watching
quick.
You for a while.
Right.
I
focused more on like hanging out with people and like messing with puzzle pieces rather than actually like just getting puzzle pieces. But for the little puzzle pieces we got for the season two stuff, Kevin ended up being the guy who put all those together.
Oh, really?
He thought it was going to be a one-off, like a one-day thing, and then it went on for like 5 days, and he's like, what have I done to myself, Rob? You know, I was chatting to him afterwards, and he's like, every day I felt committed, and it was like so much.
Well, go, Kevin. I remember now that the puzzle piece was one of the days where I like tweeted Tor, and I was like, I know I'm supposed to be writing, but I just got a puzzle piece in my DMs, and they were like, go figure out how the puzzle works. I was like, thank you, this is permission.
That is permission. Yeah, written permission as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Got it in writing.
Yeah. Oh God. The fandom does have a lot of fun. There was drama or something a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember what it was about, but I miss it. But they have been pretty chill the last couple of weeks, I feel. So we are probably due some kind of uprising about something.
Maybe we can get maybe we could just like do another revisit of if they've cut Gaul. I always find we cut
That was great. Oh, we could have like we need to get a theory crew involved about like all the different ways they could replace Gaul in the show, and then we'd list them out. We'd do a bracket system about it and really get people like angry, you know,
really bad. Yes, I love Gaul, but I'm still sure Gaul's showing up. You know,
yeah, me too.
It's all I'm gonna be fine, guys. Be chill. Honestly, scene they had the Watt series way back, they had like the audition script that made it clear that like it was probably going to be Avienda meeting Perrin instead of like Gaul. And I remember everybody else was freaking out that like Gaul was going to be cut from the show. And I was reading this going, you guys, I think they're going to kind of like have a romancy vibe. So oh. I'm sorry to say, I definitely want Avienda and Perrin to, like, in the show.
I mean, I'm
still Fael endgame, but...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You're allowed, same to, for me. You're allowed to hook up with people before... You don't yeah. have to marry the first person you put your mouth on their mouth.
Yes. Yeah. The first person you get intimate with is not the first, you know, the person you have to actually spend the rest of your life with. But yeah, I agree with that. And let's be honest, like, if I was Marcus, I would also be going to the writers being like, yes, please, have you seen Ayola?
Yeah, let's do this.
She's gorgeous. You know, or even if we're going with, like, you know, the whole, like, you know, when in the show, it's like, oh, so the ring means you're promised. Oh, Bane will be disappointed. Chiad will not. like,
I liked that line. I was like, doing some math up here.
Me too. I have a serious crush on Raga, so I would also be like, please. You know, her Instagram should be illegal. Seriously, what that? Have you seen her Instagram?
Yeah, all of them. Priyanka, man, Priyanka. Ugh.
She must get on the blacklist. I tell you, she must get told off by Amazon so often.
I love it though. She's just out here like giving us so much quality content.
She really is. She really is. And she posts like some really meaningful things sometimes.
Yeah, she does. Like, really touching.
Like, you know, things for like mental health, you know, going through grief, relationship things, so many different, you know, things to be like, you know, it's okay if you feel these things or like, you know, remember these moments. Some really beautiful things. So, but yeah, she does. I'm sure she gets told off by Amazon. She has to with the amount of shit she posts. Everyone else, like, Taylor's out there being like, let's do the week of Taylor. Raga's out here being like, look, I have 500 different swimsuits. I need to show them all to you. you know, Dan's out there being like, look at my dogs again. You know, Priyanka's out there being like, mental health. Oh, Wheel of Time snippet, mental health. You know, it's like,
she's the one who provided us with that season 3 board, right?
Yes, yeah, because they did a season 3 wrap, they're still filming in South Africa. But yeah, that actually happened last Sunday when I was recording last week. I was chatting with Jen and Meg, and we were talking about social media accounts to follow. We realized, they were like, did you see Priyanka's post on Instagram? I was like, what, when? Like an hour ago? And I'm like, huh? And there it was. She's posting about the party they were all having. So it was amazing. Absolutely love it. All right. Let's round off with a couple of last questions.
Okay.
These ones are perfect, actually. So I have some generic questions I want to ask most people each time, but these ones are really, really fit because you are a writer. So if you could write a Wheel of Time like spin-off story, what would you want to write?
Like about like the characters? Okay, listen.
Yeah.
There's,
you know,
one...
a lot of people obviously wish they could get the Matt stories and things like that. Like, if you had one, what would you want it to be?
This is going
to
be the most random thing ever. And this is, I blame Master of the Deck and you, because you guys made me do that shipping thing, remember?
The wheel? I do remember that. We
loved
the shipping
thing. And I had to read about Sleet, the warder.
fucking Sleet.
Ever since then, I have been obsessed with Sleet. I'm like the mayor's daughter who hid him in a barn. And like someday I'm going to write this fanfic. I'm going to blame it all on you guys. Because I'm just obsessed with Sleet and the mayor's daughter, whatever, farmer's daughter, whoever hid him in the barn. So everyone's like, who the fuck is Sleet? And I'm like, no, listen.
Listen, seriously.
I'm obsessed with. That I don't know, that is definitely one of my, like, you know, I'm there's a lot of like small characters, and I think I've always been obsessed with the warders. I like the idea, and I feel like the books just don't give us, like, the show is opening that up more and just making me more interested in like how much you have to give up to like follow this path, you know, and like the sacrifices, and like there are some rewards, and I know that the land and, like, you know, our stuff was really controversial this season, but I loved looking at the difference between like how stark his life was because of Moraine's quest versus, like, you know, Alana and her boys who just get to like have family and, like, you know, still live this like sort of fun, warm lives. So yeah, I want something warder-y. I'm obsessed with them.
I like that. And yeah, Sleet, if they like, I cut Gaul, I don't care. Like, if you cut Sleet, I'm pissed.
yes. Don't you dare, Rafe. I control Rafe with my dreams a little bit, so I'm going to work on that.
All right. I will. Kelly lives here in the UK, so I'll work on Kelly. There we go. And then Kayla Kayla can go and hunt down the perfect sleet. And there we go. The three absolutely. Of us, the trifecta, we'll nail it. There we go.
Love yes, that. Because it is, again, y'all's fault.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know who Fleet was before I like looked up all the characters. So,
oh my god, I don't do like, is it the audiogram? I think it is for Instagram, where they take a little audio snippet with an image and like play it. I never learned how to make those, and I don't do them for the podcast. But if I did, I would take that little snippet there, and that would be the bit I would use because it was great.
Yeah.
Oh god. Okay, two questions left. And then we'll wrap it up. When, Bree, do you, I mean, we all like to read. That's why we're here and we're talking to each other. But when do you think is the best time to read?
Oh, gosh. You guys, I'm never not reading. I have an audiobook going on my phone. And then I have a different book in the Kindle app open in my phone at all times. And then I have a third book that I'm reading on my desktop in my Kindle app. So, like, oh, I listen to the audiobook when I wander around the house, and, like, I read my Kindle book at night, and then during the day, if I get bored, if I'm waiting for something, I read on my computer. I'm going to show you something right now.
Okay.
Let's see. My current streak is 275 weeks in a row for reading every single day. And the only reason I'm only at 716 days in a row is because I missed 2 days during Wheel of Time season one because I was catching up on all of the content. But I have read on my Kindle app every day for the last 5 years.
Wow.
So
that is
seriously. And it's literally, I missed 2 days during the end of season one because I was reading. I was like, why? I had discovered the reaction videos. So I was watching everybody's reaction videos.
They've been a lot of fun to do. So the answer is always.
I am just a reader, and I reread a lot too, which I think most sometimes outside of Wheel of Time fandom, people are weird, but we have so many rereaders in Wheel of Time fandom who like reread the Wheel of Time books, and like I reread lots. I have a bunch of series that I reread constantly.
Yeah, I'm behind on Sanderson's like Wax and Wane part of Mistborn, so I've just started to reread those. I'm on the second one at the moment. It's called. I can't remember. It's rereading is totally a thing, but I don't read anywhere near that much. So
I read a lot. I read, which you know, I'm a writer. It makes sense, but
that does make sense. Yeah, you know. Keep it all going around. So I love that. That's just read constantly, folks. That is
absolutely
always.
So if I had to tell you, what am I? I am reading. I'm rereading an old Mercedes Lackey book on my laptop on my computer right now. I am reading the new Courtney Milan historical romance book, but it's called The Marquis Who Mustn't, and it is about a fake engagement. I love it. And on audiobook, I'm listening to Kelly Armstrong's Canesville series. Which is like a paranormal, fairy sort of inspired, Welsh fairy stuff inspired, I think. I got a wide range of stuff going on.
And Anna says also Ruins of Ambrai.
Reading Ruins of Ambrai with my podcast, which involves Aradia from Watt Spoilers and Ali from Wheel Takes. It's the Hot Nuance podcast. Mostly what we have picked so far, we're going to be reading books, fantasy books written by women like in the 80s and 90s. So we are reading Melanie Ron right now, who is one of my absolute favorite authors. And we're going to Tamara Pierce next, who is also one of my absolute favorite authors.
Nice. So that's amazing. And just for folks who may not have heard that, that's Hot Nuanced Podcast. Is that?
Yeah, the Hot Nuanced Book Club.
Book Club. Sorry. Hot Nuanced Book Club. Nice. And that you just going through books, yep. Do you move on or you stick solely with female authors in 80s, 90s, do you think?
Well,
or do you...
I think we're going to kind of stick with that for now. We've got so many that we have ideas to read. So I think we started it basically because my one pet peeve is constantly like people saying Robert Jordan was writing women in fantasy when nobody else was doing it. And I'm like, no, Robert Jordan was writing a lot of women in fantasy when other white men weren't doing it.
Yes,
but plenty of women were writing awesome women in the 80s and 90s, and they just weren't getting the same sort of support from publishers, you know, even when they sold amazing. And like Melanie Ron was a bestseller, and she has, I believe someone told me that Brandon Sanderson was just talking about like how much of an inspiration she was to him. I mean, she was huge, but she has sort of just vanished because, you know, I mean, that's we have this idea that women weren't writing fantasy back then. So we just like don't look for them. And we also forget because they feel like outliers. And there were so many of them. So I'm very passionate about this because I'm actually friends with some now. And so like when they talk to me about like how much it hurts to like, you know, read the Wheel of Time articles talking about how Robert Jordan invented writing women. And I'm like, yes, that must really hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, so like, there's my little pitch to, you know, remember the ladies who were writing in the 90s.
Right.
They were
so
doing awesome.
I knew you'd started this, but I didn't like get like details of it. So we can take a moment while I scroll to my podcasting app, because I used to listen to a lot of podcasts, and then in the season one crash, as I call it, I stopped and I fell so behind that I now I now listen to like one podcast almost up to date, and that's it. But I miss having podcasts to listen to, but I'm so behind on a lot of them. Now, I mean, if they're just random topics, it's fine. But like, you know, at one point I will go and do wheel takes. I'm gonna go back to day one and like do reactions and things like that. I don't know how that's gonna be a mighty, mighty task, but I'll get there at some point. But I like the sound of this. I want to educate myself on other authors because I do just reread the same books over and over again. So hot new one. I'm going to go find it now, and I'm going to, and this is your moment if you're listening, folks, to, if I could spell nuance, it would help. There it is, the Hot Nuance Book Club, to go and find them. That is such a cool logo. Okay.
Well, thank you.
That's amazing.
I made it.
That's really it's a book on fire, folks, but like in
it
a very cool way. That sounds a lot scarier. 17 episodes so far, so I've got a lot to catch up on, but what are downloading episodes done, subscribed. I will start listening and enjoying that, and for anyone concerned, it does say explicit on there, so but I mean, based on the three of you, that does not surprise me.
No, we are not safe for children, generally speaking.
That's fair.
But it is really fun. We get to talk. I mean, the first book that I picked, The Ruins of Ombre, I picked it because it's a matriarchy. And so there's a lot of gender flip stuff in there. And we get to really discuss like how well she did it and like how some of the, you know, stuff that still doesn't like, you know, hold up very well from the 90s, because nothing really holds up from the 90s. You know, we've come a long way in 30 years. So, which is good.
All right. I love that. I look forward to listening and then letting you know what I think. One final question.
Okay.
I will let you go. And this one sometimes stumps people. I've asked it in the past. I found the best way to phrase it now. So it stumped people in the past. Last week, it got me hilarious answers about something I'd forgotten about with Jen and Meg when they were on my season two finale stream. What's the one question that you wish I had asked you tonight? And how would you have answered it?
Ask me what's the one thing I want to fight everybody in the Wheel of Time fandom about.
Okay. So what is the one thing you want to fight everyone? I mean, if it's sleep, we've already kind of answered that, but you know.
No. Stop calling the Lord of Chaos cover a bodice ripper cover. That boy with his square shoulders wishes he had the chops. I'm sorry. JLK Sweet could not make a man proportioned correctly to be on a bodice ripper cover, you guys. Stop it. No. Bad.
That was the sound of the thing
I want to fight the fandom over.
Smacky.
So I'm going to like, I actually made a meme about this once with an actual hot guy with a shirt falling off next to him. Like, Rand is like the wish.com bodice ripper cover, you guys. No, stop that.
Rand is a wish.com stripper.
Really, seriously. The proportions on that are just terrifying. I love Daryl K. Sweet, but he'd never met a human, and it's sad. He's great at horses, great at vistas, not so great at people.
That's amazing. Funnily enough, last week, Daryl K. Sweet covers came up, and Meg and Jen are horsey people. They're like, Daryl can draw a horse with such accuracy, it's incredible.
It's but crazy! The people,
you know.
It's great. Like, we do, Allie and Gus and I do cover rankings with Lesbian Nerdy every time they finish a book. And, you know, right. It's always, his vistas are incredible. Yeah. Those horses, mm-hmm. like, you could count the number of hairs they have. And then the people are like, okay, Sweet has not seen people. And that's okay.
He lived in a stables with horses.
Yes, and apparently beautiful vistas.
Epic vistas. But he was the only person around for, you know, many miles. And he mailed off his drawings and someone picked them up at all. So,
so that's my one thing that I want to fight the fandom over. I'm always just like, no, stop calling that a bodice ripper cover.
So if I ever see that, I'm just going to tag you from now on and be
Bree. Look, Bree's coming with her fists up and shirtless pictures to prove.
And chilling pictures.
I will show you what a bodice ripper cover looks like.
That's amazing. I love that.
So.
Well, you have been warned Twitter a time, so be wary. Unless you just want to be bombarded with actual bodice rippers.
If that's your goal.
That's like, what is it? You say someone's name three times in a mirror or something and they appear.
Beetlejuice.
Whatever that is. Beetlejuice.
Bloody Mary. Both of them, I think.
Yeah, this is the Beetlejuice of body rippers right now. Like, if you want actual bodice rippers, you call that and tag Bree and in it comes.
And I will come.
Yeah, I love it. So. Bree, this has been hilarious.
I am so glad.
Every time we talk, we have such a great time. I had honestly forgotten about the whole sleep thing. It was quite a long time ago.
It was, but it haunts me clearly.
It does. I got a message, Kayla, and be like, we need to do shipping again because we haven't done it properly for a while. We talked about trying to get it in for Halloween. It was just too short notice. Neither of us could figure it out. And we're like, we'll do a Christmas special one. That's what we'll do. And
ruining lives over there.
We'll be like, Bree, actually, there might be a slot opening up on What a Holiday. So make yourself three on Sundays. Sunday, December 3rd. There might be a slot opening up. There's someone who's messaging
me. Continue to ruin my life. How many sleepless nights can I spend over random characters?
I love it. Someone messaged me. They're like, there's a small chance I may not be able to make it. So I'm trying to factor in a planning for something. So I'll talk to Kayla and we'll see if we can get that.
I will be ready to jump out of a helicopter. Come in. Screaming shit.
Save Sleet. Get Sleet some love. That's amazing. But thank you so much. Please, folks, go out and just get all of Bree's books. You know, and if you want them,
pre-order the Horny Dragon book. It's only $3.99 on Amazon.
Oh my god,
that's so affordable!
Is that the physical book $3.99?
No, that's the ebook.
The ebook. I mean, even
the ebook is only $3.99. So that's just like, you know, super cheap.
Amazing. And I'm looking at the cover right now. It is a gorgeous cover.
Thank you. I do really like it.
The effects and do you have much input? I'm gonna ask you a question. Do you have much input on the covers or anything like that, or do they?
I did actually with this one. I pitched the whole hourglass idea, and they ran with it. So because the hourglass is important.
Okay, there's like an hourglass that's like blue, and there's like red beads in it, and the whole thing's on fire, and there's red scales in the background of, I'm assuming, dragons. And that looks epic. So folks, please go and get that. And while you're waiting for that, go and get Bree's other books, you know, especially if you want to listen to something, you know, something real
little racy,
flirty, racy, exciting that you then
just be careful of the Bluetooth settings.
Yeah, be careful with the Bluetooth. Do not put it through the what was it? As they drove through
the toll collector, toll booth.
Yeah, don't play it out loud. We're going through the toll collector. Don't do Matthew Perry where you play it massively loud on your balcony and don't realize. You know, make just, sure your headphones.
Audiobook responsibly.
Yeah, audiobook responsibly. Absolutely. So titillating. There's another word from Anna. Thank you.
That's a good one. She would know.
Yeah, I will put Bree's links in the description. Although if you on Twitter, whereas I'm sure a lot of people are still, you just want to head over to Bree's Twitter and follow. You just want to go to @mostlybree and you will find her there. And all of the stuff's there. It's a fun account. I have to say, I do enjoy seeing your tweets. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Bree. Folks, please like the podcast. Come check out the Discord servers where you can see people talking about Sleet and the love that he deserves. that'll be a link in the description. Follow on Twitter. Come see me on YouTube where I do the Wheel of Time videos and Threefold Talk and all that sort of good, fun stuff. And if you want to listen live each week, like some people are doing right this very second, or you would like to get early access to the podcast before I release it to the general public, please consider joining the Patreon where you can get that access to listen live on Sunday nights, typically for the bottom level of just £1. I think, or is it $1? I forget. Whatever it is, it's a one something unit of money. It's
very
what it
small.
Is.
I'm assuming it's
pound because I'm in the UK. But you know, it's Patreon. It might be dollars. Who bloody knows? But yeah, thank you, folks, for listening, and thank you for joining me again, Brie. And until next time, folks, please go out there and find yourself some love, water, and shade. Thank you so much for listening to Malkia's Wrap Up. If you'd like to support me, please head over to Patreon, where you can sign up and listen to the podcast as I record each week at any level. And thank you so much. Please follow the account on Twitter, join me on YouTube once in a while, and leave a comment and tell me what you liked and what I missed, because I'm sure there was plenty. But until next time, folks, please find love, water, and shade.